From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic.
Watch for construction on I-135 in both directions at K-96 and also on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. Gray skies out the door. Will eventually turn partly cloudy. A high of 85. Strong gusty south winds between 20 and 30 miles per hour. After 5 o'clock through this evening, severe storms are likely, especially along and east of the turnpike. All of that should be done by 10 p.m. or so, then clearing in 52. A beautiful Friday, sunshine in 77. Back over to showers and storms on Saturday, and some of those could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
BetMGM tonight.
Giants now have number 5, and they have number 10. I've been screaming for weeks when the Giants only had the 5th pick. I didn't want Jeremiah Love. I want Caleb Downs more than anything. Like, I was 9 years old and I wanted the PlayStation 2. That's how badly I want Caleb Downs.
Weeknights starting at 5 on KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
We have trouble again in Dallas. Stephen Jones said George Pickens won't get a long-term deal and they expect him to play on the franchise tag. Here's the problem. Pickens hasn't signed the franchise tag and his people have made it very clear that he doesn't have plans to. This is classic cowboy drama. This is where they thrive. If attention is your thing, that's great, but eventually the focus needs to be on winning. And as the saying goes, winning comes at a price. Of that day.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bedweed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Welcome back in. We're talking NFL draft. Of course we are. Round one tonight, Paul Savage.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. The Chiefs never picked this high, and they get to pick this high because last year sucked. And now they get two picks because they had to trade away one of their best players and Trent McDuffie. That kind of sucks too. But it gives you two picks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They, I would generally say, are good at the draft. They find a lot of players, not always at the beginning of the draft, but over the course of drafts, they find a lot of players. I think one way you can do some evaluation of how teams do is just kind of go look up and down the roster. How many of the guys who have, you know, contracts or bigger contracts or contract extensions basically are homegrown players? Mm-hmm. And how much success have you? And the Chiefs have a lot of guys that they've drafted that are on massive contracts that are homegrown players. So I think, you know, people like to look at bits and pieces of drafts and say, oh, they really struggle there. But you got to look at this thing, Paul, as a total package. You might miss in the first and hit in the third and fourth, and you got two good players, and you'll probably take that. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to look at it as a total body of work. They're just in some unique air here. They haven't picked this high in a really long time. And so now they have picked 9. And they need a lot of things. And I'm checking mocks this morning, Paul. CBS Sports' last day of mock has the offensive tackle out of Miami, Magoa, who is usually first or second in the tackle rankings, however you look at it. ESPN's Field Yates has them taking Magoa, offensive tackle out of Miami. It's pretty interesting. He's getting mocked there, and that was Kiper's big board rankings. I was on the wrong tab there. So Kiper has him as the 9th best player, not getting mocked there necessarily. Field Yates on his latest that came out has him taking Caleb Downs. I look at Dane Brugler, who works for The Athletic, who I think does a great job. He's mocking them. Reuben Bain Jr. You'll see wide receivers in the mix. You'll see, I mean, literally everybody is saying different things about the Chiefs. Oh, and by the way, there are the rumors that the Chiefs could be interested in trading up.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this will be so much fun tonight. We have no idea. And trading down's an option too, if they don't like any of the players or they think they can get one a few picks later. They could go any direction outside of drafting a backup quarterback, and you can look at it and you could say, okay, I get it. That makes sense, right? This is a really interesting position for them. They don't, I mean, do they have a biggest need, Paul? I guess, if you ask me, I'd say their biggest need is edge rusher. But you could easily say their biggest need is corner. Mm-hmm. You could easily say their biggest need is wide receiver. You could make the case for an offensive lineman. Hell, you could make the case for Jeremiah Love if he somehow fell down there, which he won't. But, it's all on the table, and I think that creates a really fun scenario tonight.
Here's my prediction of the weird thing that's going to happen. We all make these in our own minds. The only problem is I'm going to share mine with everybody so I can be laughed at. That's what I'm shooting
for. We'll take it.
Yeah, I know you'll take it, and you'll do it, won't you? But anyway, here's my scenario. Chiefs trade out of the 9th pick, move up to the 3rd pick to take Jeremiah Love.
Take him with Kenneth Walker.
Yes, because Jeremiah Love is not just a running back. See, everybody's got him boxed in. Everybody's got this kid boxed in to this whatever they perceive of him as a running back. Man, he's a good receiver. That guy can catch the ball. That guy can do a lot of things. He's the best player, I think, overall in the first round. Well, that's a stretch. They're all good players and all serve a need. But I just think that that's the weird, weird scenario that could happen. And I keep thinking to myself, yeah, I guess it could, because who wouldn't want a Jeremiah Love type athlete and player of that kind of abilities and that kind of set of multi-skills? Did you catch that? Multi-skills.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't want that type of player on their team? I'm just saying, will it happen? I doubt it. I don't give myself any credit for that, but I'm just thinking to myself, wouldn't that be weird? Now, if it happens, man, I'm going to look like I know my stuff, doesn't it? Won't I?
Right. Well, they were interested in him, I think,
they
at one
have
point.
Been. And, no, they have
and
been.
And though, Paul, they went and they made Kenneth Walker the 4th highest paid running back in football in free agency.
Okay.
Now, teams have done this kind of wacky thing before, right? The Falcons give Kirk Cousins a massive deal, and then they draft Michael Penix Jr. The Vikings, I don't remember the order of Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. And that was a little bit different because Darnold at that point wasn't getting a boatload of money. But Cousins is a good example of that. We know teams across the league, Kenneth Walker was just a part of a split backfield. Like to use two guys. So I think others may laugh at you at that, Paul, more than I would. I would say that if he's, you know, if you're looking at this as the draft evaluators, and you have the ability to find a transcendent talent, again, and I've said this before, the Chiefs are in a position to go get that kind of player, whoever it is, right? And you know, people have said this isn't as strong a draft class. I feel like they're always strong. It maybe just isn't as obvious in this one.
Well, they're saying it on this class because of the quarterback situation.
The quarterbacks have a lot to do with it. And
that's exactly right. Yeah.
You'd take Fernando Mendoza and a flyer on him over Cam Ward at this point, last year's number one pick, wouldn't you? Should, you know, the quarterbacks last year were weak. The quarterbacks next year might not be awesome either. Like, I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
So I don't think it's as crazy as probably a lot of people would say that hear you say that, because at the end of the day, if you're in a position in a class where there's obvious talent, listen, if the Chiefs made that's about as bold a move as I could think of other than taking a quarterback at 9, trading up to take Jeremiah Love. That would be probably the most surprising thing they could do. If they did it, I mean, are any Chiefs fans going to sit here and not be excited that you maybe got the most talented player in the draft?
I would say.
I mean, Kenneth Walker's making a boatload of money. I don't know what his contract, you know, the mechanics of his contract. I also, there's room for two-headed backfields. They're all over the league among really good teams, too, by the way.
And somebody's always nicked up at running back. Let's not forget that.
Well, it's if you're going to go that route. And again, if you go that route, people would say, well, then what does that do to your pass game? And I'd point you to the Lions, and the way they used Gibbs and Montgomery all these years, Jared Goff still threw a ton. So it wouldn't shock me, Paul. I think for most people it would, because they spent so much money on Kenneth Walker, but that doesn't mean everything's not on the table. Now, I don't think they would trade up to get him.
Well, they'll have to, because he's not going to fall to nine.
Kind of what I laid out there. Like, what if he just happened to fall to nine?
I don't think that's happening.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, I guess.
Would you not take him there just because you signed Kenneth Walker? Like, I think you probably would.
I believe you would, yes. And by the way, how about Jeremiah Love and Patrick Mahomes in the same backfield? Oh, does that break?
What about where you and Kenneth Walker, Paul?
Like, and Kenneth Walker.
It just made him the fourth highest paid running back in football.
Well,
I don't think he's making it past.
Yeah.
The idea that he would make it past Arizona, Tennessee, and Washington seems impossible at this point. Or New York, by the way. The Giants, who have, you want to talk about two-headed backfields, how about Jeremiah Love and Cam Scadabo?
Well, I think I saw a mock draft, or at least a draft from somebody, that had Jeremiah Love going at number two to the Jets.
To the Jets with Breece Hall?
Well, that's what I don't know that
there's another scenario, Paul, that would piss me off more than that.
Well,
because we sat here and they wouldn't trade Hall, and Hall could have been a Chief. They wouldn't trade him, and then they take Love.
Well, I think I saw a draft that said that, but I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I bet not. I bet you saw one that had him going to the Cardinals. The Cardinals seem to hold all the right. cards. Here, for lack of a better term,
more than likely,
because almost all the mocks now have, at least the ones in the last 2-3 days, for whatever reason, have David Bailey going two. And I always thought that would be Arvell Reese, but if it's Bailey or Reese, whatever you want to say, they'll probably take one of those guys. You'd imagine, and then it's Arizona, and Arizona holds the power of everything here. And there are the Cowboys, who could be a potential candidate to move up to take an elite edge rusher. The Chiefs certainly are. The Giants now have two first round picks. There are a lot of teams that, if they fall in love with a player, if I'm Arizona, I'm just sitting back waiting for it. Who is going to give us the most to come get Reese or Bailey? Or, you know, if it's a team like the Giants, perhaps it could be Jeremiah Love. I wouldn't hold out on the Cowboys. I mean, they re-signed Javonte Williams. That's the thing. To your point, Paul, you have an entire offseason to plan on what you're going to do. The Giants have, I think I said Scadaboo. So are you beholden to a guy that was hurt last year? Cowboys, are you beholden to Javonte Williams, who's got an injury history? The Chiefs, Kenneth Walker, who's never, you know, been solo in a backfield before. If all of those teams are sitting there looking at it and they're like, man, we think Jeremiah Love's best player in this draft, and we think we could go get him. Now, again, I think the Chiefs would be the absolute least likely to do that of those teams we just mentioned, but whatever. That's where I think this draft gets really interesting and why it could be a lot of fun. For a draft that doesn't have the quarterback drama, this one could be a lot of fun because everybody has a different feel or guess, really, at what's going to happen. The drafts, even when there are quarterbacks, Paul, where you sit there and we kind of know what the first five picks are going to be and everybody's sort of locked in there, like, those aren't as much fun. We don't know what they're doing at 2 through 32 today. Paul, are question marks. We know one pick this year, and it's going to be Fernando Mendoza at 1. And then it is wide open after that. Maybe the Jets don't love one of the edge rushers. Now they've got more trade, you know, now they've got more draft capital than the Cardinals do if they decided to go that route. You know, let's say you're the Chiefs, and let's say you love Bailey over Reese, and you have them, you know, clearly you like one over the other. You have to call the Jets, don't you? And say, hey, we'll give you 1 in 29 or 1 in 40 or whatever it would end up being. We'll give it. The Cardinals are going to take it at 3. But in your head, you know, do you call the Jets and say, we'll give that to you and we'll throw in whatever, a pick next year? Because in your head, you're thinking, we really like this player over that player. the Jets are also in this position. Or do the Jets just stand pat and make their pick? If I'm the Jets or the Cardinals, Paul, I'm on the phone. I'm answering the phone until 2 seconds before I pick, because there are a lot of teams with two first-round picks. Two of them, the Chiefs and the Cowboys, feel like they could be a Super Bowl contender next year, which, you know, to what we've seen the Rams do over the years, makes I feel like makes you a little more inclined to be willing to trade that kind of draft capital. I don't have a strong philosophy on whether you trade the picks, make the picks. I think every situation's different. But I've told you, Paul, and I'll say it again now, and we'll take some comments and stuff in the next segment. My preference is for the Chiefs to draft, to trade up to two or three and get either Reese or Bailey. That's my preference in this draft of the first round. Mm-hmm. If that cost you 29, so be it. If it cost you 40, so be it. It obviously would cost you pick 9. I mean, maybe you can come up with a scenario where it costs you 29 and 40 and not pick 9. I doubt it. Or a first next year, whatever it is. But probably you're giving up 9 in that scenario. So that's my preferred choice. I think those players have a chance to be special. I think it's a position that the Chiefs have struggled with over the years. I mean, I know George Karlaftis is there. But to me, George Karlaftis is pretty good. He's not an elite edge rusher. He's pretty good. And they need an elite edge rusher. Yeah. They need that on the defense that's going to be it's going to have spags, mm-hmm. but they're losing a lot of talent on that defense. But that would be my preference, Paul, because right. You have such a rich history of drafting corners later in the draft that become impact players. So I think you can lean into that. I think that lessens the pressure to take a corner. They are very good at drafting corners. You've been pretty good at drafting offensive linemen, not left tackles. So if the goal is a right tackle, can you get one a little later? Maybe. Wide receiver is the one where I look at it, and you may have too much of a value proposition to turn down. Let's say they don't trade up. If you look at Tate or Tyson or Lemon or whoever they're looking at there as elite talents that could be, you know, top of the league kind of playmakers, I could justify that too, because that's where you get into the contracts. And I don't know if you paid attention, Paul, this offseason to what wide receivers are getting paid now versus the production.
Mm-hmm.
It is wild.
It is.
Yeah. Wild mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
How much money wide receivers are getting paid.
Yeah, the Cowboys
and
are right in the middle of that kind
of year,
stuff.
Next year, when Rashee Rice is a free agent and Travis Kelce probably retires, you're looking at a wide receiver group, Paul, that includes what? Xavier Worthy? Jalen Royals? I mean, it's not even just the top guys either, because the top guys are getting a boatload. We know that. Jackson Smith and Jigba just reset the market. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. But you don't have to go down very far. Paul, Brandon Ayuk's making $30 million a year. Alec Pierce just got $28.5 million. Even go down, I'm trying to go down. Jacoby Myers got traded. He's making $20 million. Wandale Robinson is making $17.5 million. You don't have to go very far down these lists to see just massive contracts for these wide receivers. If you can get one on that rookie contract for a while, it's about like getting a quarterback at this point.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. And by the way, your Cowboys are not exactly exempt from dealing with receivers at this point, are they? They've had a little bit of experience.
Yeah, they've got Lamb, and they can't afford Pickens, so they're going to play him on a franchise tag. Yeah. I think that's the right call. The Cowboys are the most desperate team in this draft to me, Paul. It's next year or bust.
Right, and this is all sponsored sort of by, I mean, you know, Jerry Jones is obviously the man in charge, and we'll see what happens. But it seems like the Cowboys and receivers have just been in the news, you know, in the last few months. But anyway, with that being said, tonight is one thing's for sure, Jacob, and you can address this as well if this is what you think is going to happen. I think you could almost have a record number of trades, draft picks for players, players moving up, for moving down, that tonight, because of all the conversation we're having, and considering the fact that most of the teams that are picking in the top 10 don't seem to be locked into any particular position because they all have needs. That's the nature of the draft in the way it starts anyway. They all have needs. That I'm just saying, because of the quarterback situation, we may see a night where there may be a record numbers of trades made in the first round. Trading for picks, dropping for picks, you know, the whole bit.
All right, let's come back. Let's get to some of the viewer, listener comments. You can leave us those. Again, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can call us at 869-1240. Email us at sportsdaily@kfhradio.com. We'll give you, like, our dream scenarios for the draft tonight. Paul teased at his with Jeremiah Love somehow finding his way to the Chiefs. I'll give you mine. Not what I, you know, like after these first picks. Like, what do we want to see this come out of? We'll get into all of that. It's night one of the NFL draft, everybody. Let's party. We'll be right back.
This is Sports Radio KFH.